This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
On his shoes, he or they should put on the right one first. And when they take them off, they should take off the left one first, so that the right one should be the first to be put on and the last to be taken off. Agreed upon. And reported by Al-Bukhari. Muslim. هذا الحديث في صحيح مسلم إلى قوله وإذا نزع فليبدأ بالشمال. And when he takes off the left one first. That's until here. That's where Al-Muslim رحمه الله reported the addition, which is so that the right one should be the first to be put and the last to be taken off. This one is in al-Bukhari and reported by Imam Malik rahimahullah and al-Tirmidhi. And some ulama said this can be even an addition to the hadith from the narrator. So the narrator trying to explain, to make a comment. And we call this in the ilm al-hadith idraj. But Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah did not agree with Ibn al-Waddah, who claimed that, and he said, no, this is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In ta'al, in Arabic language, it means he puts on a na'al. A na'al is referring to the what we call today ish sandal. Okay? But that applies to anything that you put in your shoes. Sandal, applied to the shoes, boots, all this consider. Slipper, you know, all this consider na'al. فَإِذَا نَزَعْ وَفِي رِوَاءِ إِذَا خَلَعْ. When you take off. وَلْتَكُنْ. See, the hadith said, وَلْتَكُنِ الْيُمْنَى أَوَّلُهُمَا تُنْتَعَلْ. Let it be. That's a, hina, for those who enjoy Arabic language, or when I know a little bit about it, حرف اللام يأتي بمعاني كثيرة, has many different meanings. لا, the letter لا, ليكن. لا can be سببية. أتيت لأكل. I came to eat. لي, so the reason for me to be here is to eat. The reason for me here to pray. Okay, so lam takun للسبب أو lam التعليل. Also, a lam could be an order. And one of the way, simple way to know if this lam, it means explaining why or it's an order, you look at the tashkil on the lam. If there is a sukoon on the top of the lam, okay, that means this is lamul amr. It means an order. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةُ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. That's an order. But if the lam has kasra underneath of it, it became ta'lil, reason. لِيَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. The reason is so they can make a lot of dhikr. Okay, so here the hadith, وَلْتَكُنْ الْيُمْنَى. Amr, it's an order that you start with the right when you put on your shoes, and it will be the last when you take off. So here, let's see some of the masail and rules and lessons from the hadith. Number one, العلماء رحمهم الله said this hadith shows clearly that it is highly recommended when you put your shoes on, you put with the right hand first, with the right foot first. Okay? And this is, it's a very interesting. Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah said, I looked at all the evidence in Sharia. Anything has adding beauty, you start with the right hand, the right side. Anything that is a beautifying in it. That's why when you put your shirt, a sunnah to put the right hand first. Your coat, you put the right hand first. Okay? You put your socks, you put the right one first. You want to eat, good thing. You basically, your right hand, that's right? You want to part your hair. You start with this side or that side? You start with the right side first. You see? So this is to purify you. Anything in the opposite, you start with the left. That's why entering the masjid is something what? Beautiful. You start with which foot? Right. Enter the house. With the left, huh? No, with the right. With the right, okay? You enter with the right hand, with the right foot. Okay? So, the opposite, start with the left. You take off your shirt. You take off the left first. You take off your shoes, your socks, your gloves. You start with the left. You want to shaving, it's a beautifying, because, or cutting your hair is beautifying. But for example, let's say, leaving the masjid, you start with the left. Entering the bathroom, you start with the left. Guys, من أجمل ما قيل في معنى ذكر الله, one of the most beautiful things about what dhikrullah means is to remember Allah's rules when it is required from you. So, what's dhikrullah? It means is to remember what Allah wants from you at this point, at this moment. You're aware of what Allah wants from you. Can you imagine what kind of level of awareness that you have, that even when you take off your shoes, you put your shoes, you walk inside the house, you walk out, you go to the bathroom, you're still thinking, ah, Allah want me to put the right hand or the right foot or the left foot first. That's an amazing amount of, you know, connection with Allah. That's unbelievable. One of the things that touched my heart about Shaykhna Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah, it is actually the same night when he died. He was suffering from cancer, abdominal cancer. And it was very strong, and he was suffering a lot in the end of his days, rahimahullah. The soldier or the person who was at his room serving him, he said, the Shaykh in the middle of the night, he died, I think, before Fajr, like around 4 a.m. Around midnight, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said he want to go to the bathroom. So he kind of put him on the bed to help him. So the soldier said, I went and I put the shoes in the Shaykh. And Shaykh starts saying with a very weak voice. And I said, yes, na'am, Shaykh. I didn't hear what you said. Then the Shaykh, with a very weak voice, he said, start with the right. Yani, start, because I put the left shoes first. Then the Shaykh told him, no, take it off and start with the right. Can you imagine, like, in this moment, with all this, he's still aware of what is the sunnah is. That's an unbelievable amount of dhikrun lillah. Allah dhakir hadir fi dhihni. It's not like something somebody doesn't know. Yani, you, after he finish, and maybe he drink the tea and the soda, and maybe after he burp, he said, oh, I didn't say bismillah. Because it's not there. That connection is not strong. Anyway, Aisha radiallahu anha, shit kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yujibuhu tayammun fi kulli shay. He loves to start with the right side. In his shoes, tana'uli, watarajuli, when he parts his hair, fix his hair, watuhuri, when he starts the wudu or wash himself, take a shower, he starts with the right side. وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ in all his affairs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why, even in writing, we start, but that's in Arabic, we write in Arabic from the right side first, before the left. It's a whole culture. Anyway, Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, did not like what some scholars said. Some scholars said, if you put your left shoes first, take it off, then put the right. Ibn Abd al-Barr said, there's no need for that. It's just a sunnah, okay? Also, this hadith shows you it is sunnah to remember to take the left one off. And that also applied to the socks, okay? Men and women. Al-Qadhi Iyad said, there is ijma', an agreement between all the scholars that it is only recommended to do this. It's not wajib, it's not sinning if you didn't do it. قال ابن عبد البر من فعل ذلك ما علمه بالسنة فبئس ما صنع ولا يحرم عليه ولا ينبغي له أن يعود لأن البركة والخير في اتباع أدب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وامتثال أمره. يا سلام. ابن عبد البر said, and whoever knows and aware what's the sunnah to start with the right, but purposely didn't care and put the left first, that's bad. That's disrespect. He didn't commit a sin, but it is an offense. It is bad manners. And there is no barakah in such person, because the blessings and the goodness in following the etiquette and the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, I told you how Nawawi rahimahullah said that this is a new rule. You apply it in all things, okay? That anything has adding a purifying you, or like, you know, you start with the right side. Then after that, if it's the other way around, if it's removing what is make things beautiful, you start with the left. Like, for example, if I have a wall I want to decorate, I do that with the kids. Like if they have a party, I said start with the right side. And if you want to take the decoration down, we'll start with the left side. And things of that nature. طيب. The next hadith. وعنه يعني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يمشي أحدكم في نعل واحدة ولينعلهما جميعا أو ليخلعهما جميعا متفق عليه. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should walk with one shoe, but should either wear them both or take them both off. Agreed upon, reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his wording is the copy that we have, he said, لِيَنْعَلْهُمَا جَمِيعًا أَوْ لِيَخْلَعْهُمَا جَمِيعًا. Al-Bukhari said, ليحفهما أو لينعلهما من النعل. ليحفهما من الحافي, يعني يصير حافي القدمين. طيب, لا يمشي, none of you should walk, that's to forbid, okay. لا هنا we call it الناهية, جزمة الفعل بحذف الياء. لا يمشي أحدكم. Also, it could be, according to Al-Bukhari, لا يمشي with ya, which is نافية, ليست ناهية, which also means to negate such things, which it means you should not do that. النعل, what you put in your feet to avoid harm from stepping on the ground. So any type of thing that you put your feet on, it's called نعل. As I said earlier, ينعلهما, okay, ينعلهما, both are correct linguistically. طيب, what's the rules that we learn from this hadith? Number one, it is dislike to walk wearing one shoes only. So, especially the young people here, one of the etiquette that a lot of people don't know, that is, you're not allowed to walk with one shoes on, okay? And Nawawi rahimahullah said, there is an ijma', an agreed upon this issue between the scholars, that it is dislike. It's not forbidden, but it's dislike. And Ibn Hazm rahimahullah and As-San'ani said, no, it is a sin. It is forbidden. But I don't believe that. I believe it's just not recommended, because Usually the ahadith that talk about al-adab and etiquettes, unless there is something in the hadith shows you clearly it is haram, otherwise when the Prophet do or don't, it just as a recommended act, as Ibn Abd al-Barr rahimahullah said. And Ali and Ibn Umar allowed people to walk in one shoes. نقل عنهما جواز ذلك. أن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لأخالفن أبا هريرة فيمشي في نعل واحدة. عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, I will not listen to what Abu Huraira narrated. She doesn't believe that this is something the Prophet ﷺ said. She said, I don't care about what Abu Huraira think. You know, I will walk with one shoes until Abu Huraira changes opinion. Why Aisha said that? Because she said that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once he was walking and his sandal got broken from the back, so he couldn't keep it on his foot. So he walked with one shoe only, with one shoe. That's what Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, so she believes it is allowed. Otherwise the Nabi will take both out. There is debate over this hadith, if it is authentic or not, by the way. From Aisha. لقد كان أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه يعلم أن من الناس من ينكر عليه هذا. Abu Huraira knows that some people were not agreeing with him when he said this, that you're not allowed to walk with one shoe. And there is a narration, Sahih Muslim, that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه once ضرب بيده على جبهته. He did like this. Okay. In front of his students. Then he said, إِنَّكُمْ تُحَدِّثُونَ أَنِّي أَكْذِبُ. You claiming that I made a mistake. كَذَبَ, it doesn't mean lie. Be careful. Because some people said, ha, the Sahaba think that Abu Huraira lying. No, كَذَبَ, it means what? أَخْطَأَ, في لغة العرب. In the Arabic language, الكذب بمعنى الخطأ. ولذلك قال كذبت, يعني أخطأت. It's a common way of talking. So he said, you're claiming that I made a mistake. أَتَهْتَدُ وَأَضِلْ. You're guided and misguided. أَشْهَدُ لَسَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I bear witness that that's what I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said that. Because some people thought that this is Abu Huraira's opinion. But it's not. And to the proof it's not Abu Huraira's opinion, that Jabir said, رضي الله عنه, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, لا يمشي في نعل واحدة. Do not walk in one shoe. من طريق مالك عن أبي الزبير عن جابر that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not eat with your left hand and do not walk in one shoe. Okay? And Abu الزبير also reported that جابر رضي الله عنه said, if your sandal broke, do not walk in one shoe. Take them both off. Or fix your sandal. طيب. قال ابن عبد البر رحمه الله, I don't know anyone took Aisha's position that it is allowed to walk كذا with one shoe. I don't know anyone said that Aisha, يعني took Aisha's position that it is permissible. العلماء agree it is dislike. طب why ابن عمر and عمر did it? Ibn Abd al-Barr said they might did it to show people it's not haram, but it did not to show them it's okay. They just want to make a point that it's not forbidden, but still it's dislike. Okay? Al-Qadhi Iyad said, these narrations that suggested some of the early Muslim scholars or the companions or the successors walk with one shoes, it's an incident where they were walking with two shoes and one of the shoe got broken. So they were walking with one until they fixed the other one. Okay? Then they put it back. It's not haram. But no one initially could have come out of his house walking with one. Or walking around with one shoe? No. Why? What's wrong with walking with one shoe? They said, it's interesting. قالوا شوف هذا كلام عجيب. It might sound funny, But it really, if you look deep, you'll be amazed by our scholars. تأمل يعني كلام العلماء. They said, لأن هذا من باب العدل بين الجوارح. يا سلام. They said, so you will be fair with your both feet. Wouldn't be fair, one foot protected and the other one is not. You have to be fair even with your own body. See? It's very interesting. You cannot purify one and not one. You cannot protect one and you leave the other one. You need to be fair with both of them. And also, another reason, they said no. Because if you go into walk with one foot has shoe and the other one no shoes in it, the way you're gonna walk, it's gonna look so funny. You think how people will walk with one shoes? Can you imagine in the desert? It's so hot. There is pebbles and stones and and thorns and stuff like that on the ground, and it's so hot. And you have one foot a shoe and the other one you're barefoot. How would you walk? Like, you're gonna look so funny and people make fun of you. And they said that will be something not appropriate. That's why it's dislike. Or imagine one of these new shoes with high heel and no heel at all. You're like, you look terrible. Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah said no. It was said dislike لأنه لباس شهرة, because it became something everybody, the one with one shoe, it became something make you very famous and everybody talk about, and that's not correct. Some said because if somebody see you this way, he would think that you are insane, majnoon. And some said no. The reason we don't do this, because this is how the shaitan walk. And they mention hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported by Tahawi fi sharh mushkil al-athar that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ash-shaytan walks with one shoe only in his foot." So as from this we know something about shaitan, that he has two feet. Okay, and there is one, he wears shoes, and he liked to wear one and keep the other one barefoot. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is why. These are the all opinions were mentioned why the person should not walk with one foot, with one shoe only in one foot and the other one is barefoot. قوله لا يمشي. Don't walk. Let some scholars said, you're not allowed to walk, but it's okay to stand up with one shoe on and one off. Okay? If you are going to fix your other shoes. So let's say something happened to my shoes, I take it off to fix. Do I need to take the other one off until I fix it? Or I can stand up like this until I fix it? Al-Imam Qadi Iyad qal, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah said, take off the other one until you fix the one in your hand. Okay? He said, and if it's too hot to do so, okay, if it's too hot to do so, you can keep it. And if it is not hot, take both off. Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah, and this is the correct fatwa. Tayyib. Some scholars said, what about if you don't walk and you don't stand? You're sitting. Can you put one shoe on and you leave the other one? Let's say you go to your couch, you take one shoes off, and you keep the other one, and you're sitting on your couch. الَّذِي يَظْهَرْ لِي, what appeared to me, the hadith is not about the walking. The hadith is not, the point is not walking or not, standing or walking. المقصود في الحديث هو اللبس وليس المشي. The hadith talking about putting on. It's not about you walk with it or you're not. You carry it or you're not. You are on a couch or not, you're in a wheelchair or not. It's about basically you put on one shoes, but you don't put the other one. And the walking was mentioned because that's the common thing. طيب. العلماء رحمهم الله said, this apply to any type of clothes you put on that made of pairs. Can you give me an example? Anything you put on that it pairs. Socks. You put one socks and you leave the khuf. You put one and you leave other. Another example. Gloves. So you put one gloves and you leave the other. Unless you are taking something from the oven. You can put one to grab. Because like talking about gloves, like you go outside with it. Pair of glasses? What about this one single glasses? I don't know about that. No, that's a glass by itself. You guys have a lot earring. You put one ear and another, not the other one. What else? Earphone works both. I mean, some people use only one, but it's not meant to be both. And you can separate them. You all have it right now, other than your socks. All of you have it, sisters and brothers. Pants. Can you imagine if you take one foot out and you have one pant, one only foot in, and you walk like that? Shirts, jackets. You put one hand in and the other one out. T-shirts. You know, you take your hand one off and you keep one. All this, ulama rahimahullah said, is not the same rule applied. Dislike. The same concept. Okay, and Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah, he commented, he said, I'm not sure about the shirt. Al-Khattabi mentioned it. Ibn Hajar said, I'm not sure if that's applied to shirts or not. And As-San'ani rahimahullah said, I don't like to make analogy on this ahadith. I don't like to make analogy on this. So there is a debate over, can we make analogy on other things or not? There is a whole debate over it. I personally don't like to make analogies, so I don't see that the same rule to the shoes apply to the shirt or to the earring. I don't see. I restrict this only to shoes and what is similar to shoes, like socks or sandal. Because al-illah for me, the reason, is imitating the shaytan. The illah is not one, but not the other. So that's why al-qiyas is not correct. The reason for it is because it's imitating the shaitan. It's not because you have one in and one out, or one without. If that's the case, you can apply it to the shirt and the earring and so forth. But the illah is the shaitan walk like that. So that's why I said, or put his shoes this way. Yeah, but sometimes the shoes is very thin. Yeah. But what if you break one of your foot? And you have to have a cast on one foot. Break the other one? No. You know, I have a friend of mine, Allah yadhkirahu khair, his name is Nasser. We were playing soccer in college, and he broke his foot. So I took him to the emergency room. So when I took him to the emergency room, miskin, he broke his, like, had a small fraction, so they put, like, cast around his feet. And I was taking him in the wheelchair to the car. You know, there is a ramp, and it's high ramp. I remember that in Lahsa, in college at that time. It's a very big, like, it's a stiff, the ramp, let's go all the way down. I still remember that. So when I came out from the emergency room, I saw one of my friends who I haven't seen for a long time. So he came to give me a hug, and by the time he was giving me a hug, the wheelchair started moving in that ramp. and I don't have the brake. And my friend was like screaming, and I was running behind him, and my friend running behind him, and miskeen, he slammed into the dumpster. And he's not even smart to put a dumpster in the end of the, he slammed in it. And he was injured so bad, I took him back to the emergency room, and they cast his hand. So when I brought him back to the dorm, the brother would tell me, we gave him to you with one foot broken, you return him back with a feet and an arm. I said, I have to be just. Anyway. Next hadith. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينظر الله إلى من جر ثوبه خيلاء. متفق عليه. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه narrated that the Messenger of Allah said, Allah will not look on the Day of Judgment at him who lets his garment drag on the ground out of pride and arrogance. Okay? Agreed upon. This hadith, Hadith bin Umar, reported in al-Bukhari. But there is a story behind it, where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ أَحَدَ شِقَّي ثَوْبِي يَسْتَرْخِي إِلَّا أَنِّي أَتَعَاهَدُ ذَلِكَ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have my garment. You know, in the old days, they have one garment, the lower garment, and upper garment. Sometimes long shirt and garment in the underneath of it. Sometimes there's nothing even, just one long shirt. So he said, this garment that I have was not tight not long enough to tie it perfect. So what happened, sometimes it will fall down, and when it fall down, it will drag. But I quickly tried to pull it up, so I will not have my garment beyond my ankle. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنك لست تصنع ذلك خيلا. النبي said, don't worry about it, because you don't do this out of pride and arrogance. Okay, so Abu Bakr had a concern after he heard this hadith, that the person who drag his pants, beyond his ankle, or go all the way down, it means that Allah will not look at him, and did it just something that scared him. So he talked to the Prophet about that. He said, don't worry, you don't do this out of pride. Reported by Muslim. لا ينظر, Allah will not look at this person. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at him. And one of the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has eyes, and he sees, and he look at his servant. And one of the meaning that this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he look at someone, he look at someone, and that will be combined by his mercy and forgiveness and reward. And he might look at someone, but this look will be combined by his wrath and anger and take them to the punishment of the hellfire. Okay? So here when he said, Allah will not look at them, yani Allah will not look at them, the look of mercy and love and, you know, and forgiveness and rewarding. Allah will not look at them. When? In the Day of Judgment or in this dunya? Could be both. Both. هذا خطير جدا. That's so scary. That Allah in this life and the next, He will not look at you. A look of mercy. That's make you think, I need to know about this. I just can't ignore. That's why Abu Bakr, it became something serious for him. I need to know what's the rules. طيب. But if you look at the other narration, Sahih Bukhari, it shows you that this hadith related to Yawm al-Qiyamah. Mainly. Why? Because Sahih Bukhari, he said, لَمْ يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will not look at him in the Day of Judgment. Okay? Also, because the Day of Judgment is the day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He look at people, and His look will be combined by His mercy and forgiveness. طيب جر ثوبه, drag his garment. It means يعني you drag it beyond your ankles and reach to the ground. خيلاء, pride and arrogance. طيب anybody knows خيلاء means? Can you think of any other word in Arabic very close to the word خيلاء? Another word similar to it. خيل. What else? خيال. What's خيال? Imaginations. What's the connection? Can you draw a connection between imaginations and arrogance? Yusuf, what do you think? What do you think why the Arabs will use the word imagination to describe the arrogant person? Because arrogant people think about themselves something which is not real. It's their imagination that they are perfect. It's their imagination that they are all that, but the reality they are not. That's why it's so beautiful, the word khuyala. يعني you think that way. You think you are perfect. You think you're above the world. You think that you are, you know, everything you have. But the reality is not. You think you are different and bigger and better than others. But the reality are not. It's your imaginations. That's why they give the word خُيَلَاء مِنَ الْخَيَالِ. Their own world. You see? So, anyway, وفي رواية مخيله. طيب يعني كبر وعجب.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة.
Let's see what are the rules that we can learn from this hadith. Number one, this hadith is very explicit in making it clear that dragging any type of cloth or garment on the ground, touching the ground, or beyond the ankles, out of arrogance, it is absolutely forbidden. And as a matter of fact, it is one of the major sins in Islam. As Imam al-Dhahabi put it as one of the major sins, Milkaba'ir. And Imam ibn Hajar al-Haytami in his book Az-Zawajir an Iqtiraf al-Kaba'ir also mentioned it as one of al-Kaba'ir al-Dhunub. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said the same thing, and he said the only exception, if you show arrogance in war, like you're going to show off just in front of people in the war and you drag your feet, your claws behind you like a cab or something, like very long, dragging them behind you just to show that you're fancy and well fed and well, you live very well and you're ready to fight. He said it's okay. Because it's good in the time of war to show pride. So that's where he's coming from. There is multiple ahadith very explicit about it is absolutely forbidden to drag your clothes or to wear long clothes beyond ankles out of arrogance. So other than what you just, this hadith we just mentioned is enough. Allah will not look at them. But also in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إياك وإسبال الإزار فإنه من المخيلة وإن الله لا يحب المخيلة. سنة أبي داود. Do not let your garment drag. It is a form of arrogance, and Allah does not love and like arrogance. In Sunan Abi Dawood, and Ibn Qayyim said it's hadith sahih. Hubayb ibn Mughaffar radiallahu anhu qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul man wata'ahu khuyala wata'ahu fin nar. Whoever his clothes goes all the way dragging the ground, step on it, okay, drag it on the ground, and out of arrogance, he will drag this clothes in the hellfire. Man and woman, arrogance. She does it out of arrogance. Man for arrogance. I'm talking about somebody do it out of arrogance. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, three people Allah will not listen to this. Three people Allah will not talk to them in the day of judgment. Will not look at them in the day of judgment. Will not yuzakkihim, purify them in the day of judgment. Walahum adabun azim, Allahu akbar, alim, nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have a severe punishment in the day of judgment. Four things: will not look at them, will not talk to them, while basically let them suffer from a severe punishment, have a severe punishment for them, and Allah will not purify them and accept them. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this three times. Three type of people, three times. Abu Dharr said, Ya Rasulullah, khabu wa khasiru, khalas. What a loser. What an evil people. Who are they? Anybody knows who are they? The first one, al-musbil. The one who drag his clothes. Wal-mannan. What's al-mannan? Al-mannan is the one that he keep reminding you of all the favors that he have done to you. Every time I see Aqib, I told him, you remember, I give you $5. I bought you that day. All right. For example, we're walking and driving in the car with the people and we pass by a store. Oh, you remember the $5 that I got you to buy that day from the store? I gave it to you. Then, mashallah, he comes. I said, when are you going to meet me? He said, I'll meet you at 5 o'clock. Yeah, it's like the $5 I give it to you, you remember? And every fifth of the month, I said, remember the five? I keep your khalas. You know? You keep bragging about, I did this, I did this. That's al-mannan. Guys, I'll tell you about a form of man that we do without realizing. You know what? Parents. They keep telling their kids, I did this for you, 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 I did this for you. And khalas, sometimes the kids like, you know, you keep just bragging about it, keep saying it, and bring him back, and bring him back, and bring him back, and bring, and became a humiliation. You ruin whatever good you have done to your kids. Or the husband. Or the wife. You know, I took you and you're worth nothing. And now you are this and this and that. I'm this and this and this. So they always manan. You know, I did this to you. I did this to you. I did this to you. That's not good. And this is serious punishment for such people. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who are the fourth one? وَالْمُنْفِقُ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلِفِ الْكَاذِبِ. And the one who tried to promote his merchandise by making false statements and saying, wallahi, 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 and it is all lie. Just because he want to basically to sell his merchandise. The second issue is here. What is the ruling in relation to wearing clothes that goes beyond your ankle, but not out of arrogance? Not out of arrogance. So arrogance, all the ulama agree it's a major sin. But what if it's not out of arrogance? Okay, what is the ruling? All the ulama agreed for women, it is recommended for them to wear long clothes that cover their feet and can reach to the ground. Because Ummi Salama radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa yasna'u nisa'u bi dhuyulihin? What woman can do with their tails, like the clothes that go all the way there? She said, yurkhinahu shibra. قَالَتْ تَنْكَشِفُ أَقْدَامُهُنْ قَالَ يُرْخِينَهُ ذِرَاعًا وَلَا يَزِدْنِ. He said, they are allowed to let it be long all the way on the ground, even as much as the length of an arm, not more. In the beginning he said, like this, said, Ya Rasulullah, but if they walk, it might show their feet. So subhanAllah, she's caring about, and her, the woman's feet will not be showing. Today, mashallah, you know, half of the arm showing, you know, quarter of the hair showing, part of the neck showing. Yeah. All right. اتفقوا أيضا على أن الإسبال لحاجة كمن به جرب يريد أن يغطيه من الذباب ونحوه فجائز أو يكون فيه جرح. جرح جائز. They said it is also, the ulama agreed, if you will make your clothes all the way dragged to the ground for a reason, let's say someone have an injury and wound and he wants to cover that wound with the long thobe, especially in the old days they don't have bandage and stuff like that, it is allowed, so the flies will not, mosquito will not come and harm the person. So in this case it is allowed. And they said, this is an analogy because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted Abdurrahman ibn Auf to wear a shirt made of a pure silk because Abdurrahman ibn Auf had a itchy, and any type of clothes he put was so itchy for him. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you can use pure silk to put it on so you will not be itchy. So he said, if silk were allowed for him to put on as a man, will be allowed for us to also drag his clothes down for a medical reason as well. And al-Iraqi rahimahullah mentioned that in his explanation for at-Tirmidhi, and al-Hafidh rahimahullah as well in Fath al-Bari. As for dragging the clothes without the intention or without not out of arrogance, okay, other than these two scenarios, Al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala debated over this. Some said it is dislike. Two opinions. Some ulama said it's dislike for you to wear any clothes goes beyond the ankles. And some ulama said, no, it is forbidden. Haram. So some said it's haram. And some said what? It is makruh, dislike. Some said, You must make sure that your anything that you wear, pants, thobes, it must not go beyond the ankles. And the ankles are these, the bones that's sticking out. And some ulama said, it's not recommended. But the first opinion, which it says it is recommended, and it's only makruh if it is beyond the ankles, are the majority of the fuqaha. For the honest, if you look at the majority of the fuqaha, took that position, just makruh. The Hanafi, the Maliki, the Shafi'i, the Hanbali, and among the leading scholars, among the Hanabila, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, also said it's makruh, and it is not forbidden. Why? Isn't it, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma asfal al-ka'bayn fahu fi al-nar? In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any clothes that goes beyond the ankles belong to the hellfire. Anything. This kalam mutlaq. Ayyu thawb goes beyond the ankle of nar. And this is in Bukhari. Why do we say it's makruh? Al ulama said, we take this general hadith that said any clothes beyond the ankles, we understand it in the light of the other hadith that says anyone drag his clothes out of arrogance. So we understand this general, unrestricted, in the light of the restricted one, the specific one. Okay? And he said it is sunnah recommended because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the record, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never wear clothes, according to Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah and other, that it was dragging. But even this we will look at it because al-Bukhari reported otherwise. And we'll come in a little bit. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said to Abu Bakr, when in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever drag his clothes out of arrogance, Allah will not look at him. Abu Bakr said, what about me? He said, you don't drag it out of arrogance. Okay? That's why al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said, بَابُ مَنْ جَرَّ إِزَارَهُ خُيَلَى. He said a chapter about those who drag their clothes or their lower garment out of arrogance. And he restricted it. And he mentioned the story of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the story of Hadith Abu, he mentioned the story of Abu Bakr. And he mentioned also incident Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu reported in Hadith at Kusuf al-Shams when the sun, when the eclipse took place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his house and the narration like this, خَرَجَ مِن بَيْتِهِ مُسْرِعًا يَجُرُّ ثَوْبَهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. He was walking fast and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lower garment was dragging. He did not have a time yet to tie it. So he was holding it, walking while it's dragging. If it's dragging haram, he should have not hold it. He should have wait, stood up, tied it properly, then walk. So they said since the Nabi didn't do that, he was just holding it, even it's dragging on the ground, it means it's not haram. Because the Nabi did that. They said also, many narration from a Salaf shows that wearing clothes that beyond your ankles, if it's not out of arrogance, it is permissible. For instance, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu kana yusbilu izara. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, his izar used to be long and go beyond the ankles. And he was asked, why? Is sunnah to make it short? He said, inna fi rijli qal inni rajulun hamshu saqain. My shins look ugly, look bad, and I don't want people to look at it. Okay? Also, Ikrimah said, and this reported by Ibn Abi Shayba and Ibn Hajar said it's an authentic narration. Also, Al-Bayhaqi reported in his Shu'ab that Ikrimah said, I saw Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu إذا اتزر أرخى مقدم إزاره حتى يقع على حاشية على ظهر الإزار ويرفع الإزار مما وراءه. I saw Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه whenever he put his garment, you know, it's like a lower garment, the one that you do in Hajj. He said the Izar, the garment from the front, it will be covering his feet. It will fall into that what's not the back? It's the top of his feet. Huh? Like all cover his feet. So the garment will go all the way down to cover his feet. But from the back it will be a little bit higher. But still, that if it touch his feet, it means it's beyond what? The ankle. Then he was asked, why do you do that? He said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ wearing the izar the same way. And this hadith al-Albani rahimahullah said it's sahih. Narration. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh was seen in Mina, طويل الشعر, long hair, وعليه إزار في بعض الإسبال. And he was wearing izar, basically, and this izar was long beyond the ankles. And it's a report by Tabarani. وكان قميص عمر بن عبد العزيز ما بين الكعب والشراك النعل. عمر بن عبد العزيز, his garment, whatever he used to wear, it used to be under the ankle and where the sandal is. So it doesn't touch the ground, but it just goes underneath the ankle. You following? وكان إبراهيم النخعي إمام أهل الكوفة, هذا إمام أهل الكوفة, قميصه على ظهر القدم. His garment that he wears, go like one garment, long garment, like thobe today, okay? Go all the way until it cover his feet. That's also isbat. أيوب السختياني قال حماد بن زيد أمرني أيوب أن أقطع له قميصا قال اجعله يضرب ظهر القدمين واجعل فم كمه شبرا. He said, Hamad, I made a thobe, a qamis, like a long dress, that one piece they wear. It was so long, and Ayyub, do you know guys who Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani is? Okay, Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani is one of the greatest scholars among the successors in Syria. No one entered Damascus or Syria among the successor higher than Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani. He studied with Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu arda. One of the greatest scholars one of the most enjoyable biography that you read in your life is the story of Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani rahimahullah. Min ajall al-ulama, one of the great scholars of Islam. So Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, when he said to Hamad, when you make my thobe, make it all the way long until it touch my feet. So this is isbal. This is basically beyond the ankles. Because of these type of narrations, the majority of the fuqaha said it is just dislike, not haram. Only haram if it is for the sake of what? If it is out of arrogance. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah irtada birida'in thameen وكان يجره على الأرض. Abu Hanifa was wearing a cloth, and it was expensive, kind of robe or like garment, and it was dragging. Then it was said to him, أولسنا نهينا عن هذا؟ Aren't we been asked not to do so? قال إنما ذلك لذوي الخيلاء ولسنا منهم. This is for people who do this out of arrogance, and we're not from them. Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah said, his Malik Iskari said, it is not right to do it out of arrogance. It is haram. And if you're not doing it out of arrogance, it is not forbidden, but it is madhmumun ala kulli hal. It's not appropriate. It's not a good thing to do. You should not do that. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended the Muslim not to make their clothes beyond their ankles. Okay? And Al-Shafi'iyya did the same, and I'm not sure, Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned that in Sharh Muslim. Al-Hanabila, the famous narration from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, or the famous opinion among the Hanabila, it is not forbidden unless it is for the sake of arrogance. And that's why fil iqna' qal wa yukrah, Ibn Qudama qal wa yukrah, and Ibn Muflih rahimahullah said that's the choice of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And it seems to be this is the choice of al-Bukhari as well in his Sahih. And that's what al-Shawkani rahimahullah also have suggested. The second opinion, it says no. It is forbidden, it is haram, and it is one of the major sin. قالوا ليس بس محرم بل من كبائر الذنوب لأن صاحبه متوعد بالنار. And that's one narration among the Hanabila. An opinion for some Maliki and Shafi'i, some fuqaha Ahlul Hadith, the fuqaha among the Muhaddithin, and also the Zahiriyya. What's their proof? They said we look at the hadith that talk about dragging clothes or your garment goes beyond your ankles, and all this for men, by the way. They said there is a hadith said whoever did such things will face the hellfire without saying anything about arrogance. Just for you to put your clothes beyond your ankles, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said such person will be punished for that. And he said this in hellfire. In al-Bukhari, قال ما تحت الكعبين من الإزار فهو في النار. Anything go beyond the ankles, it is to hellfire. Sahih al-Bukhari. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported the same thing في موطأ مالك. طيب. He said the second category of ahadith, that the ahadith said, do not. So the first category, the one who make it without any arrogance. They said, the one that says, do not have isbal, do not drag your clothes at all, okay? Without any mentioning of hellfire, just don't. Don't do isbal, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Isbal, it means go beyond the ankles. La tusbil izarak, do not make isbal, which is don't let your garment goes beyond your ankles. Allah does not like such people. Hadith al-Mughira ibn Shu'ba. طيب. The third one, the ahadith that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw someone wearing clothes that underneath their ankles, then he told them, raise, irfa, qala zid, qala fazid. طيب. They said, so here, those group of scholars said, so there is dragging the clothes out of arrogance, and there is dragging the clothes for no arrogance, for no wasting money or anything like that. And they said, because also dragging the thobe will lead to touch the najasa. So you should not do that. Also, making it long, it's waste of money. Also, it make you possibly to have a sense of arrogance, like king's robes dragging behind them and so forth. They said also because it's imitating women, because women are the one they should drag their, today's the opposite, men have long pants and women have shorter clothes. We go down, women go up. Allah mishkila. Anyway, so it is, he said that's imitating women. So these other reasons for this ulama to say it's forbidden. And a lot of ulama يعني, also said that, especially كثير من المحققين, like الذهبي ابن حجر said it's haram, it's forbidden. And الذهبي رحمه الله was very strong about that. And they said, as for Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he said, Abu Bakr, first of all, his garment was not below his ankle. That's why he said, I bring it back to its place. Number two, Abu Bakr dragged his clothes because he couldn't tie it. It's not intentional. Three, Abu Bakr knows that it's not allowed. That's why he went and he asked for his worry. For in Nabi give exception to Abu Bakr. Nobody can claim that he can get the same exception. So that's the argument of those scholars when it comes to Hadith Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda. So they said you cannot understand the unrestricted in the light of the restricted, or the general one, which is don't drag your clothes or don't make your clothes beyond your ankles. Don't say I understand it in the light of whoever drag it out of arrogance. They said no, because dragging out of arrogance, the punishment is different than dragging it without arrogance. With arrogance, Allah will not talk to them, will give them severe punishment, will not look at them. Okay? But dragging it with no arrogance, the hadith which is just unrestricted, the hadith said Allah doesn't like such thing, and it says it's in hellfire. The four punishment that we mentioned in the other hadith is not here. So they said these two different cases, two different punishment, because it's two different actions. That's how Shaykhana Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said that some of the ulama rahimahullah tried to approach this issue. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know how far you guys. I don't believe that this argument is very... it's done. Anyway, when you say there is a different punishment, no. Allah will not look at them. Allah will not purify them. Allah will not talk to them. That all lead to what? To entering hellfire. There is no two different punishment. It's the same thing. But here it's more explicit, because here it is emphasis on the issue of khuyala. Okay? So in my opinion, they are the same. Also to say that al-khuyala is another punishment for it than the isban, we say no, because when the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr, you don't drag your feet, you don't drag your clothes, sorry, drag your clothes out of arrogance, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the ruling related to the issue of arrogance, not related to the issue of dragging. The rules, halal or haram, has to do with what is your intention behind wearing the clothes, not if you, how long your clothes are. You see what I'm saying? So that's absolutely correct to understand this on the light of that. And that's what I said. Yani, many of the ulama took that position. The majority of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, took that position. It's just too many. There's a lot of more argument about this, but what I the bottom line that is enough to be mentioned in this gathering, in my opinion, Allah alam, that any thobe, the sunnah is to wear it, not to make it beyond the ankles. But I don't believe it's haram unless it is out of arrogance, according to the Jumhur ulama. And I don't see any difference between a thobe or a garment, like in Hajj and Izar, pants, or anything of that nature, okay, in to take the same ruling. Inshallah, next week we might comment on some of the other lessons that we can learn from this hadith, especially talking about the concept of arrogance and khuyala, that this is something forbidden in Islam, and also talk about some of the sunan that came in relation to where the common clothes in the time of the Prophet used to be, like what he's saying, some people put to the half of the shin or lower, or even can it be shorter than that or not. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.